Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Today, I would like to very briefly raise an issue which has been on my mind for quite some time, and in that, give you some food for thought on a particular situation. So I pose this question to you. Do you believe that it is right for ministers or churches or ministries to charge the Lord's people for the gospel, that is, for the benefit of hearing ministers preach the doctrines of our faith and practice, to charge the Lord's people, or anyone for that matter? Now, let me be clear that I am not talking about the local church giving a minister a wage, a reasonable, not excessive, but reasonable wage, as is the case too often in America with regard to the excessive part of that. I say, I'm not talking about a reasonable wage for the pastor's labor. I am a firm believer that no man should become wealthy from serving the Lord as one of his ministers, though. I am of the firm belief that excessive wages for a minister rob the church of her ability, to some extent, to minister in so many other ways, and are a terrible witness to the world. To be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very great privilege, and he will bless faithful ministers with blessings more important than financial gain. Now, the plain hard truth is that today, the great majority of celebrity ministers who are so looked up to and run after, including Reformed ministers idolized as supposedly being of the same stuff as the Puritans, which they are not, these are receiving very large salaries from their church, and then also from oftentimes from one or sometimes more of ministries they head up. In some cases, in many cases, this amounts to many hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think you would be shocked if you knew how much money some of these people are raking in, many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Now, by contrast, our master had not where to lay his head, and these men are rolling in cash and luxury. But that particular issue I'm not going to get into today, other than to quote the Apostle Peter, who commanded, and this for Christ Jesus, speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. 1 Peter 5, the verses 1 and 2. But again, my opening question has nothing to do with ministers who labor in the word and ministry then receiving a reasonable wage for their labor. That's not what we're talking about today. Paul, the apostle of Christ, in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, explains why called and enabled and faithful ministers of the gospel must receive what is needful for the practical things of this life. And then he concludes with this. This is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Even so, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The scriptures are everywhere clear that ministers which are committed and faithful when it comes to feeding, ruling, guarding, and guiding the local flock, they are to receive from that flock what is needful for their financial needs. For instance, Galatians 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So when I ask that question, do you believe it's right for ministers or churches to charge for the Lord's people or others to hear the gospel, that is, for the benefit of hearing ministers preach the doctrines of our faith and apply to practice. I'm not talking about paying a minister a reasonable wage so that he can commit himself to his duties as a pastor of the Lord's flock, that is, under the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning that very subject, the Apostle Paul declares in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Addressing that very subject then. What I'm talking about is this, though. Charging, literally charging a fee for people, the Lord's people or others for that matter, to hear a minister or ministers preach the Word of God to them. Whether that fee is $1 or hundreds of dollars or anything in between. This is the subject we're on today. Obviously, this is completely different from a local church providing a minister the means to live with regard to the needs of his body and his family, the life, I say, in this world, paying him what he needs to live while he labors in the ministry for them. In the case of a sound, faithful minister and a sound, faithful church, no one is charging entrance fee to hear the preaching of the word. God forbid. No one is told you can be among us to receive the benefit of the word expounded, explained, applied, taught, preached by our minister, but you must pay a fee of this much to come in and receive that benefit. But that is exactly what we're talking about with regard to this exploding phenomenon of preaching conferences featuring high-profile celebrity-type new Calvinist ministers such as Beaky, MacArthur, Sproul, Moeller, etc., et al. Those who wish to obtain the supposed benefit of hearing such men preach at those conferences, usually held in churches, or in some cases the facilities of a Bible college or seminary, must pay for that privilege. I say supposed benefit because those men and their crowd are not faithful ministers. Now, the celebrity ministers are, as a group, unfaithful in either doctrine and practice, or, in some cases, just practice, if sound in doctrine. And in both cases, such men are unfaithful shepherds who leaven the Lord's church with deadly error and lead the Lord's people down an ultimately destructive path. But three things astound me about this situation that we're going to be talking about and are talking about with regard to these conferences, including that you are charged a fee to get in. We'll get to that in a minute. But as I say, many things astound me about this situation, but allow me to share just three. The situation with regard to these celebrity ministers. First, it's astounding how utterly undiscerning so many of the Lord's people have become. They will sit at the feet of such ministers and subject themselves to their influence and their teaching. Yet contrary to the scriptures and the Lord's honor and the good of his blood-bought church and their own souls, they seem completely unconcerned as to the scriptural faithfulness and soundness of such men's ministry practices, associations, and in some cases even their doctrine itself. And they seem utterly oblivious to their own responsibility not to encourage or support unfaithful ministers in any way, shape, or form. I say unfaithful ministers, unfaithful in doctrine and practice, or unfaithful in just practice. They seem oblivious when it comes to their responsibility not to encourage or support such ministers. Such ministers in any way, let alone to sit at the feet of those wolves in sheep's clothing to be taught by them. And then secondly, the soft ivory tower Epicurean lifestyle represented in all of this, I say in all of these plush, high-priced conference events, just astounds me. As to the celebrity ministers, I'm often reminded of what Jesus said, but what went ye out to see, as he was talking about John the Baptist, a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. And also, he said, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. But thirdly, and going to the question which prompted this commentary, how had the Lord's people become so undiscerning as to dumbly write out their checks to pay the charge for hearing the celebrity ministers preach and teach, in truth, merchandise then, the Lord's precious word? The scriptures are full of warnings concerning the topic I've raised, that is, of peddling the gospel for money and of making merchandise of the Lord's people, that is, profiting off of them. Now, allow me to set just a few of those scriptures in front of you without comment. Peter, in his second epistle, warns of those who he writes, 2 Peter, this is in the verse 3 of chapter 2, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Jude, in his epistle, warns of those who have ran greedily, he says, after the error of Balaam for reward. The prophet Isaiah, by the Spirit of the Lord, declared to those profiting off of the Lord's people under the guise of being faithful shepherds, he said this, Isaiah 56, that's the chapter, the verse is 11, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Paul includes the requirements of an elder. This is included, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 3, that he is not to be greedy of filthy lucre, also not covetous. As I mentioned earlier, Peter writes to elders, including pastors, then, 1 Peter 5, the verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We've already read that, of course. Paul could testify this way, 1 Thessalonians 2, the verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Our Lord purified, and not gently, the temple of those who were greedy to profit off of the Lord's people then. John 2, the verses 13 through 16. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. There has been a lot of merchandising in the household of faith in recent years, and that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about specifically, though, the selling of the gospel, you might say, charging a fee to hear the doctrines of our faith preached, taught, exhorted. Now, I'm going to give you just a few examples of what the Lord's people are being charged to hear celebrity ministers preach the Word of God at various conferences, and there are many of them across the country. I'm going to just give you some examples of this, what's being charged. And again, I remind you, though, the simple yet profoundly important question is this: do you believe it's right for ministers or churches or ministries to charge for the gospel, to charge for the Lord's people or for anyone, charge for the benefit of hearing the doctrines of our faith preached? If it is wrong to make that charge, then it's wrong whether the amount is a dollar or hundreds of dollars. Now, let me first mention this. Before we go to just a few of these conferences, I'll give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. Let me mention this, though. Over the years, and there's a reason I do this. There's a reason I do this. Over the years, our little Pilgrim's Covenant Church has held a good number of preaching conferences. We have rented a facility larger than our small church. We have a very small church, and so we wanted to get a bigger facility. And then we have brought in ministers, more than one at each conference. Sometimes, generally, it's been three, I think, besides I preached. And even brought in ministers, I think every time, maybe there was one exception, but brought them in from other countries, faithful men to preach and teach. We brought them in. We paid their expenses. We paid for their living quarters, so to speak, took care of all their expenses, and of course took care of them, fed them, et cetera, took care of all that. We paid the travel, the lodging, the food expenses of those ministers, as well as giving them a nice gift. Now, not an excessive gift, but a nice size gift for their labors. Not thousands of dollars as to the gift, but hundreds. The faithful men we have had preach and teach for us, well, they're not of the money-grubbing sort. Now, we also have provided, at no charge, refreshments for those attendees of our conferences. Now, we are a very small church, but we have never charged one dime to those who attended our conferences. Never a dime. We have only taken up a free will offering, one free will offering, to give an opportunity to those who wanted to help with our expenses. And you can believe me, even then, we strictly avoided putting pressure on anyone to give. And I do remember giving all of that away that we took up the one year. We didn't even try to cover our expenses that year. We just gave all the proceeds that particular year to Trinitarian Bible Society. We had a speaker from there, and we just gave it all to him. Well, not to him, but to TBS. And also, we have in the past held a number of tent meetings on the farm where we live, the farm where I once made a living for my family, milking cows and working the land here. We brought in speakers. We provided a structure for the meetings. We prepared campsites and a pasture for those, often many families who camped. We provided them hot showers and toilets and electricity. And we even provided a large meal on the last day of the tent meetings. This was all free of charge and for as many as 250 people. Yet again, we have never, ever charged a dime for all of this, only taken up a free will offering, and then only once a camp meeting. We have never even considered charging, and never would, an admission fee for persons to hear the word of the Lord preached. Our desire was to enlighten, equip, and strengthen the body of Christ. This, then, is a ministry work. And we were prepared to have it cost us something, as it always did. We never made any money. It always cost us something. And we saved up money to pay the difference between the free will offering and our expenses. So I bring this up for one reason. As I speak about the situation that I've raised in the context of the question I've asked, and this concerning the celebrity preacher conference circuit, it's not as if we're talking out of both sides of our mouths here. That's the only reason I have raised this question. And I will give you some examples to put it in context. Do you believe it's right for ministers or churches or ministries to charge the Lord's people or anyone else for the gospel for the benefit of hearing ministers preach the doctrines of our faith and, of course, with regard to practice as well? And my answer is no. In fact, I believe it is a Christ-dishonoring, gospel-profiteering racket, an abomination to charge individuals for the benefit of hearing the doctrines of our faith preached. I don't care what expenses go into these conferences. It is one thing to secure housing and then ask people who want to make use of it to pay for just the actual cost of such housing and no more. Do that for them. It's one thing to give the option even of a meal or meals and ask people to pay just the cost, the actual cost of the meal, so no money is made. But it's another thing altogether to charge a fee for admission to hear the preaching of the Word of God, whether money is made or lost. But, of course, with these conferences, it's always made. But I'm saying this is wrong. I feel this is an abomination to charge a fee for admission to hear the preaching of the Scriptures. That, I am convinced, is an abomination and a stench to the Lord. And though I have never run across such a conference, this may come up, I suppose, and I've never run across such a conference with regard to this celebrity conference circuit, never seen this on any of the websites of these conferences, that all the funds collected at the conference will be given away by the organizers to a needy missions work, such as overseas, a gospel missions work, or something like that. I've never run across such a conference, but even so, if there is one out there somewhere, it would still be wrong to charge for the conference in the first place. In other words, it would still be wrong to say, now you can attend this conference and we'll give away the money we collect, but nobody comes in unless they pay this much. It's still wrong. The principle is still the same. A free will offering should be taken up after an announcement that it will be donated to such and such a ministry then. But you don't charge for the gospel preached and applied. I say the gospel in the larger sense of all the doctrines of our faith. And quite frankly, again, if you run across a conference like that, let me know, because I haven't run across any where they say all funds will be given to this or that ministry. There might be one out there. I sure haven't seen it on the celebrity conference circuit. And wouldn't it be interesting to see what some of these celebrity ministers on the conference circuit make for their appearances? I personally believe that there are many of these men who are raking in hefty profits from this conference circuit, both by their speaking fees and then, of course, by product sales. But that is a separate, though related, issue. Now, before I wrap up this commentary then, and I hope I've stirred some of you to independent thinking, as it were, approving of all things here as well with regard to the issues I've raised. Well, before we just wrap this up and say goodbye, allow me to mention a few examples of conferences and the fees for attending. These are just a very few that I pulled up on the internet. I have looked at various conferences at various times, but for the purpose of this commentary, I went and pulled up just a few upcoming conferences. Just a few then, but taken together, they give a pretty good picture of what's going on here. And not to be redundant, but charging people $1 admission to hear the word preached and taught is too much. It is wrong. But of course, these conferences on the celebrity circuit charge much more than $1 admission. For instance, there is the National Center for Family Integrated Churches and their conferences. They have one. Well, I pulled up one. They have a number of events and conferences each year. I pulled up the one. It's on October 27th through the 29th, 2016. Now, a word on the dates. A lot of times those dates are a little deceptive. Sometimes there's a full day there, but sometimes it's just sort of registration, just a little bit on one of the days. And sometimes, as with a conference we'll be looking at pretty soon, two of the days, there's no teaching at all of the days that are listed, but we'll get to that conference. But going back to the National Center for Family Integrated Churches, NCFIC, the conference that I pulled up, that's held in October of this coming year, is amazingly called the Fear of God Conference. Now, we don't have time to again document how corrupted the NCFIC is religiously, spiritually, doctrinally, when you take into account that their network of churches is an admixture of truth and error, of scriptural and apostate, and that the NCFIC conferences feature ministers who are not faithful in both doctrine and practice. In the past, on Heart of the Matter programs and to some extent in articles, we have documented how terribly compromised and unfaithful the NCFIC really is. Now, the speakers at this particular conference include, but are not limited to, the following men whom any sound, obedient, and faithful church would never associate with: Kevin Swanson, Scott Brown, Ken Ham, Don Horn, a man who extols the supposed virtues of Southern slavery, the ubiquitous Dr. Joel Beakey, who seems almost to never have met a conference he didn't like, no matter how unscriptural and polluted with unfaithful teachers and preachers. And by the way, the last time I recorded a Heart of the Matter commentary, I mentioned Dr. Beakey's long association, mentioned somewhat in passing his long association with Refl 500, that unclean cage of Romanists, apostates, and new Calvinists. And when I say apostates, I do mean apostates. We've documented all of this in articles and radio programs. And I mentioned in passing that sometime back, Dr. Beakey had supposedly ceased, as we had been assured, finally ceased after 2.5 years of pressure as a result of warnings given and documentation given by Reverend Ivan Foster and me in a great number of articles, and then a couple of Heart of the Matter programs, that Beakey had ceased to speak at Refl 500 events, though we found he still maintained some connections with Refl 500. Well, after that Heart of the Matter, I was shown that Dr. Beakey actually hasn't ceased to speak at Refl 500 events, perhaps maybe only if they're in this country, I don't know, but he's scheduled to speak at a Refl 500 event in Holland this year. And as the saying goes, at this point, when it comes to this man, why am I not surprised? But very quickly, here is what individuals must pay up front to be admitted into the ironically named upcoming Fear of God Conference put on by the NCFIC. And by the way, The entrance fee does not cover anything more than the, we'll put it in quotes, right to hear the Word of God preached, and of course have access to the book tables, groaning with the works of the conference speakers and, of course, other teachers. Certainly not all sound and faithful to the Word of God, but all for sale. Lodging and food, things like that, are not at all supplied by this conference. So this is just to get through the door. At this point in time, I think there was an early bird, somewhat of a discount, but let's see. At this point in time, up until September 1st of this year, a family will pay $399. After September 1st, you're going to have to pay $449. And an individual, up until September 1st, $129 to warm that chair. And after September 1st, it will be $149. And I should interject here that the run-of-the-mill, the average celebrity conference will have in attendance generally hundreds, and in some cases many thousands even, of people. So you start doing the math, we're looking at big money. And remember, though, even as we talk about the amount to get in, the amount being charged, the question is this: do you believe it's right to charge at all for the benefit of hearing ministers preach the doctrines of our faith and our practice? Right now, all I'm doing is giving you some examples of prices which are charged for that benefit. The Shepherd's Conference for Pastors and Elders is staged by John MacArthur's Grace Community Church. This is another example I would give you from the celebrity conference circuit. This conference is held right in MacArthur's church, and a good percentage of the speakers are leaders of Grace Community Church. So you start right out with, they have the facility, it's just sitting there. Now, the price of admissions is $349 per person. I'll say it again, $349 per person. Sure, this includes a continental breakfast and a light lunch on at least the first several days, but that's it. Attendees are on their own for the big meal of the day, and if they want something more substantial for breakfast or the lunch break, they're on their own. Otherwise, they get a light lunch and a continental breakfast several days, and that's it. But they have to cough up $349 per person. Now, the last attendance figure that we have for this conference, and this is off the Grace Community Church website or one of their ministries. They have a number of websites. But the last figure we have is in 2015, and the figure is over 5,000. They said we are expecting over 5,000 ministers and church leaders, and that was based on registration. Now, if I have my math right, figuring just 5,000 even then, times $349 per head, that's a gross, can we call it the gate take, of $1,745,000. So you have to subtract from that the price of whoever eats the light lunch and the continental breakfast, and then what, electricity? And a reasonable gift to some of the speakers? Yeah, I wonder what they're really paid. But anyway, but what does that amount to when you're looking at a couple of speakers beyond, I don't know what there is. I can't remember. It's been a while since I was on that site. Three or four men, maybe, beyond the people that are already with that church. So you look at that. What does that amount to when looking at a gross take of almost $2 million? And then, of course, as with all conferences, there's the take from the merchandising of books, CDs, sometimes other articles. I know they do have, at this conference, they have a store opened up. I believe they have a coffee shop or a little place you can get things to eat and coffee and all this sort of thing. And by the way, the Shepherd's Conference promo declares the event this year to be March 9th through the 13th. But for Saturday, the 12th, there are no speakers. So they say 9 through the 13th. You see that? Oh, well, at least it's longer. No, there's no speakers. And attendees are encouraged to seek out local attractions. And then Sunday, the 13th, attendees are simply invited to come to church at Grace Community Church. And so that's the Shepherd's Conference. And by the way, if you go to the Shepherd's Conference, you can get your shoes shined. They have some promo where they show people lined up. I don't know if they pay for this or not, but they're getting their shoes shined. Well, hey, $349, maybe it's free. Maybe you can get your shoes buffed up, and that'll just about push it over the top, you know, make it worthwhile. But again, before I get too sarcastic, the fact is, I believe it's wrong to charge anything at the gate, so to speak, at the door, anything for people to simply come into that church and hear the word of God preached. That is wrong. That is merchandising the gospel. It is wrong. Now, to give another example, I proceed to R.C. Sproul's ministries. They have a number of conferences. I happen to pull up this one. I say every year they have all these different events. Here we have the 2016 National Conference, February 25th through the 27th, Orlando, Florida. No meals, no other benefits, but this will cost you $219. $219 to attend. And again, this is a very, very large conference. Sproul and his Ligonier Ministries put on, as I say, a number of conferences every year. They also, you might be interested in knowing, they sponsor cruises. This coming year, that includes a Western Caribbean study cruise. They have a number of other ones coming up. I don't believe I'll get into that issue, since now we're getting into something that amounts to more than a preaching conference. It's a cruise, and I'm not going to go there. There may be a diversionary aspect of that. But at any rate, I'll just say this. I find it a sickening spectacle to consider Christians spending tens of thousands of dollars to take a luxury cruise, and all supposedly for the glory of the Lord and the good of His church. Such are the times in which we live. One more example. We could give you so many. Let's just have one more. Because again, the whole point is it right or wrong to charge for preaching the gospel? I say it's wrong. I say it's very wrong, no matter what's being charged. But I also have been telling you for a long, long time that there is a lot of cash changing hands, too, on at these conferences, this celebrity conference circuit. There's a lot of cash, and there's a stench of filthy lucre hanging over this celebrity conference circuit. And then, just for one more example, we have the Bethlehem Conference for Pastors and Church Leaders. This is put on in partnership with DesiringGod.org, Pastor John Piper's ministry. Enough said there. This is going to be held at the end of the month at Bethlehem College and Seminary. I say the end of this month. And if you want to get into that, it's going to cost you $150 it starts January 25th, and it's going to go through Wednesday, January 27th. It's going to cost you $150, but then there's another charge, a fee, whatever it's for, I don't know, of $7.74. So almost $160 to get into that particular conference. So that's enough. I won't give you any more examples. Again, the amount charged is one thing. I give that to you for a reason, or some samples. It runs from, you know, here to there. But the issue here is charging at all. I would not have needed to provide those examples of the going rates for these celebrity conferences. I say the gate ticket price. I would not have needed to give those examples. I only did so to point out that there are huge sums of money changing hands on the celebrity conference circuit just from the admission fees, of course, and then there's the sale of various merchandise. And that could be considerable as well. I'll give you one example. I remember Dr. Beakey for a while was exulting on his blog over his brisk book sales. For instance, at one Krupp conference he spoke at, he sold $17,000 in books at that one conference. So I say, a lot of money changing hands on this conference circuit. Very lucrative. But here we leave things with that question that it seems few, precious few ask. In fact, the question I personally have not heard anyone ask. I'm sure other people are. I just haven't heard it. Must be precious few asking it. And the question is this: is it right for ministers or churches or ministries to make a charge, to charge for the gospel? That is, to charge people, the Lord's people, but anyone, charge them for the benefit of hearing ministers preach the doctrines of our faith? Is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? Because this is what's being done by those celebrity ministers on the conference circuit. And there are many, many thousands, tens of thousands of people who are rushing to lay down their money so that they can hear these men preach. I say it's wrong. I say it's very wrong. I say it's just one more way in which the Lord is being dishonored and greatly offended, even by ministers claiming to love, fear, and honor him.